You're smart and work hard, but just aren't where or who you want to be. Welcome to your podcast, Real Confidence. I'm your host, Alyssa DeVere, and I'll be sharing a bit of brain science, some surprising social secrets, and a touch of tough love. Why? Because I believe confidence is everyone's fundamental right and choice. So let's get to it. I always say that I am excited about these podcasts because I am. And today we've got a real treat. Not just a treat in terms of the content, but you got to listen to Susan Murphy's voice today because I am so in awe of somebody who can speak literally the word, anything comes out of her mouth sounds confident. And she's going to teach us not only why and how to do it, but she's going to even maybe use me as her beta test guinea pig today. I love it.
Okay.
Let me tell you a little bit about Susan Murphy. She's been in the broadcast industry for over 40 years, and she's been a radio news director, TV news reporter, and a weather girl. And you put that in parens because that's what it was called back then.
That's right.
She's a talk show host and producer for all kinds of radio, public television producer, on-air personality, college dean and instructor, and a voiceover artist. I don't think a lot of people know what that is, Susan. So we're going to have to talk about that too. So, but these days you make a lot of people very, very confident because you are a broadcast voice coach. So we'll also talk about that. But thank you for being here.
I am delighted, Alyssa. I have so enjoyed listening to your podcasts. There is so much energy, so much good information. That's why I said I have to be there.
Well, you are so great for saying that and for being with us today. Let's start with some of those questions that I just threw out as even part of your bio. Voice over is what? A voiceover artist is what?
We audition for commercials. We do narration. That's what a voice actor does. It's mostly narration. I narrate for Time Magazine for 6 years. I was the TV voice for Fixadent denture cream. I've narrated some documentaries for public television. That's what a voice actor or voice artist does.
Oh, awesome. So for those of you who may have even interested in that, that's cool. And now you coach people, which is really interesting. So let's talk about not just what you do, but who and why you do it. Like, why do people come to you? What is the issue that they're trying to fix?
Oh, sure. So many young journalists today, when they're going through journalism classes and J school, whatever, the focus is always on the technology. Now, back when I came through school, we didn't have that much technology to learn. Plus, we were often given camera people. Nowadays, journalists are MMJs, multimedia journalists. So they have to do the camera work and the editing and the voicing and the writing, and they have to do the whole thing. So the burden is much greater. So I've listened to many TV channels in my travels, and what has always struck me is sometimes I see young people who can shoot well, they ask the right questions, the writing's okay, not great, but okay. But their voice is just not in tune with the stories they're doing. And I came up through radio, and that's what most TV people did back in my day. You always did a little stint in radio. And that's, of course, where voice is very much emphasized. So what I've done is I've literally created a recipe that is a combination of what I've learned, singing lessons I've taken, plus what I've learned in voice acting classes to help young journalists find their authentic voices. Most of them just don't use it, particularly the men. They'll like sound like what they think a reporter or an anchor should sound like. Some women too, they get in, I call them anchor ladies. And if I call you an anchor lady, oh, that is not a compliment. So what I do is I draw out or draw up from them beautiful, natural, authentic voices that make their storytelling so much better. And the first thing it does is it allows confidence to bloom because you are speaking and coming from an authentic place.
Wow. All right. So I know and I respect and I love that you're focused on journalists, broadcasters, but everything you're teaching applies to anyone, really, right? It doesn't matter if we're doing a pitch of a product or a service, that's a story. It doesn't matter if we're presenting an idea, right? It's a version of a story. It certainly applies if we are presenting anything in a corporate or other capacity, that I always tell people, it doesn't really matter what you say or even what's on the slide. It's how you say it.
Correct.
So you use the word authentic, and I have a little bit of a hang up with authentic because a lot of people use it.
Yes.
And I think in the little bit that we've exchanged before this podcast recording, I know that you look at it differently than most, and I appreciate it. So let's talk about what that means to you. When somebody sure. speaks authentically, what does that really sound like?
It means they are using the range of pitch that is natural to their body. Now, your pitch comes from the bottom of your diaphragm, which is a muscle that sits at the bottom of your rib cage. Most of us, babies are born, we're all born knowing how to do this, how to breathe correctly. And most of us, when we sleep, we breathe correctly. But somewhere along the age of about 4 or 5, when we're toddlers and we're walking, talking, and taking direction, we sort of forget how to breathe into our bellies. And what we do is what is called conversational breathing, which means we kind of breathe to here, to about the middle of your chest. It's enough to get air down into your diaphragm and then back to your lungs and oxygenate your blood. But it's not enough to bring up beautiful sound. When you are talking too fast, when you are breathing shallowly, when your shoulders and muscles into your neck and face are all tense, the pitch of your voice rises. And I don't mind it for a few seconds at a time, but I'm not going to listen to it for 2 minutes at a time, and certainly not half an hour at a time. So what I do is I just help you find that beautiful voice that everybody has, and everybody's is different. And I don't change anybody. I just help you discover something you didn't know you had.
All right. So let's dig even a little deeper. Is it, when you say tone, I have a friend who has a very high voice like this.
And that's pitch. That's not tone. That's pitch.
Right. That's pitch.
Right.
So tone, describe tone a little bit. When you hear a pleasant tone, what does that usually sound like?
That means that person is speaking in the range of pitches that they are meant to. And tone is what language does to color those pitches. It's how you say the words. It's how quickly or slowly you go. It's literally coloring the pitch. That's what tone is.
Beautiful. Now, you also are demonstrating something that when we do our confidence workshops, we do touch about communication and speaking. And you are a beautiful example. There's no ums or ahs. You speak at a nice cadence. And I know this for a fact. I was going to say, I think, but I actually know this. People like to talk like this. And we said before, we're New Yorkers from Long Island. We talk like this when we grew up.
That's right. Yep.
That does not make somebody sound confident, let alone feel confident. It also invites the ums and ahs to give your brain some time to catch up. But more importantly, I say to folks, when I speak like this, I sound smarter.
Yes.
Not dumber, smarter. So how does that play in with tone and pitch and breathing? Does the speed and the, how do you factor that all together?
It does all come together, because what do news people do? They tell stories. And you're right about how literally what I can teach you. I've worked with ministers. I've worked with nurse practitioners. I've worked with financial advisors. I've worked with a CFO in Australia. Anything you talk about has to be done with great passion from your side, which engages your audience. It also has to be done in a manner that allows the other side to not only hear it, but to listen to it and absorb it. And that's where the pause comes in. So few people use a pause because we're all afraid of dead air. We're all afraid of silence, and we shouldn't be. Two reasons. One, as the speaker, when I take a pause, I can reset my breath. It also gives my brain a chance to work a few sentences or a sentence ahead. But the most important thing a pause does is it allows your audience, your listener, a chance to absorb and get what you just said. If I hear a reporter going a mile a minute, not taking breaths, just trying to cram in information into that story, you lose me. So I'm gone. Plus the fact that for most reporters, and this is just a tiny little thing, is that when they cover the reporter's voice with what's called B-roll, with a video, I can't watch your lips. We're talking on a podcast where we, you and I can see each other's lips, but our listeners cannot. Watching lips is so important to understanding what we hear. How about all those years we spent in masks, muffled sound, and not being able to watch lips? Ministers have to recognize that people at the back of the church can't see their lips. Professors have to realize people at the back of the lecture hall can't see their lips. So I'm a big fan of intentionally speaking, which slows you down, makes you thoughtful, therefore smarter, and use simple words and short sentences. Easier for you, easier for me.
Love, 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 love what you said, and preach and practice as best I can as well.
We all think because we wrote high school and college papers with lots of prepositional phrases and fancy words and all kinds of adjectives, that that made us sound smart. No, it just made us take up space. Come on. We all would like, okay, is it enough words? Have I typed enough words? Mm-mm. And that doesn't work in a speech or doesn't even work in a conversation or in a newscast.
Right, right.
Everything has to be very pointed, very factual, very intentional, so that you get your story across.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was giggling a little bit inside before, because there's a lot of schools of presentation that will teach you how to stand and this, that, and the other, but they don't give you these very basic concepts that, again, apply to you anytime you open your mouth, is slow down, be intentional as best you can with what you want to say. Take your time to think about it. Give the audience some time to process it.
Yes.
I love it. Very basic.
Yes. Yeah. We all should do it. In our conversations with spouses and you know, our children, how much better will we be heard if we speak like this, as opposed to yelling over each other?
Yeah, yelling, or just a lot of waste words.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking about the ums, you know, as you like. I had an event last week, as a matter of fact, and the speaker came on and spoke like, you know, like literally like that. And I watched the audience fall off. It was a Zoom thing. I watched them, and I didn't blame them. I had to stay on, and I was literally deliberately not listening, because all I wanted to say is just stop, figure out what you want to say, and then say it. Mm-hmm. But I want to come back to your earlier kind of center of expertise in the getting people's tone to be authentic. Mm-hmm. Because that really is something new for me anyway. And I'd like to really understand, how do you achieve it? Use me if it helps to demonstrate. Sure. And mm-hmm. Let's really kind of show them what it looks like and the difference it makes.
Absolutely. You know, you talked a minute ago about a posture and to stand. And the posture I always recommend is the one that came from my singing teacher, which is to lean slightly forward so the weight of your body goes down through the balls of your feet, literally rooted like a tree. And every time she would say that, my eyes would roll. Yeah, rooted like a tree, Elaine. But there was a method to that madness, because it does give you a place of purpose and a place to literally root yourself. So lean forward, weight of your body down through the balls of your feet, not evenly spread across the soles of your feet. But here's the big key. If I could take you through the whole thing, but the simplest little thing I could teach you with regard to finding your natural pitch, your authentic voice, is literally drop your shoulders. Relax. Drop your shoulders, make them heavy and loose. No holding in the muscles across the top of your chest or across the top of your back. That automatically reduces tension. Hello, where do we carry tension? In our shoulders.
Shoulders, yeah.
We have lessened all the tension in our necks and into our jaw. Those muscles are relaxed. As speakers, drop your jaw slightly. Put your tongue behind your bottom teeth. Be mindful of the shoulders are heavy and loose. And breathe in through your mouth, out through your mouth, into your belly. And I always recommend count 4 breaths in and 6 out to completely release all the air that's down in your diaphragm as a reminder to you that you're not going to run out of air in that speech. It'll be fine. A lot of reporters think, I'm going to run out of air. Well, this is a little trick for your brain. I'm happy to show you that. But you lower the shoulders, breathe into the belly. Always start your sentences on a belly full of air. Don't exhale and then speak. Inhale and speak boldly, not loud, boldly, as though, if you've done theater projection a little bit, let your voice hit the opposite wall, little of that. And you'd be amazed at how surprised you'll be at how commanding you'll sound. It kind of does work for everybody. And what I've learned is women tend not to use that voice.
Why?
From what I've learned, and let me tell you, I didn't see it coming. High pitches, breathiness, vocal fry, where it's just no air support, and they talk like Kim Kardashian. Or a squeaky, girlish voice, Barbie doll, goes back to their childhoods. Because those voices helped them then to deal with a dysfunctional family, to deal with overbearing parents or teachers. Some cases, it was a romantic partner. We are taught, girls, I think, are still taught, but certainly girls of a certain age were taught, you're not brash, you're not loud, you can't be bigger, better, bolder than the boys. You have to be feminine, and that's just stuck. And it's not true. It isn't true. So when I help these young women who are in their mid-20s, most of them, step out of that, and they hear back in their own ears what kind of pitch and tone they can produce, sometimes their eyes well up with tears. And after a while, they say, do you know how healing this is? I was blown away, but honored to take that journey with them.
Yeah, that's
if I can help them move forward past those things that have held them back. And let me tell you, a girlish voice in television is going to hold you back.
A girlish voice
in anything. Right. You're right.
So, yeah. And so, again, I love the fact that you have this beautiful focus, in some cases ability, expertise, but anyone who's listening in any capacity. Now, there was one last thing I want to cover because we're almost out of time.
I know.
We talked to you forever. This is so interesting to me on so many levels. You said bold before. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes it is another one of my pet peeves, forgive me, audience who's listening, because you've heard many about my pet peeves, is that badass is not I don't think it's a good thing. I think badass is, this whole message of being a badass is actually backfiring in a big way.
Yeah.
But when you said bold, where is the line between bold and badass? And how does bold actually work in your favor?
Where's the line between assertive and aggressive? Same line.
Hmm.
By being assertive, by being bold, you are standing in your truth and you are communicating it to another person or a group of people. So what you also have to engender too is confidence in what you're speaking about. I tell my reporters, remember, you spent all day on this story and they're giving you less than 2 minutes to tell it to me. You have to be the expert in the story. You have to be solid in your information. Same thing for anybody who's giving a speech or presenting an idea. Between the excitement, the knowledge, the mental picture that you're an expert really does allow you to bring out that bold listen to me. I've got you on this. I spent all day tracking this story down. Here, let me tell you about it. I've got a great idea. I've spent years thinking about this. Let me tell you about it. So it's a combination of a little psychology and believing in what you're speaking about, along with the breath, the lowered shoulders, and just a little bit of projection.
Yeah.
And I always tell my reporters, I want your first sentence to literally be head turning. Say something at the beginning of your speech or your pitch that's going to make my head turn. And then I got you.
Yeah. Oh, words of wisdom with beautiful tone to back them up. So thank you so much for being here. I want anyone who is like, I got to talk more, learn more about Susan. Where's the best way, or where can they find more information?
You can find me on LinkedIn. There's a million Susan Murphys. Just type Susan Murphy voice coach. Or my website is Susan Murphy VOSAT, which is broadcast shorthand for voice over sound on tape. Susan Murphy VOSOT.com.
Beautiful. We'll certainly put those in the show notes. Anyone who has any questions about this show or any, please reach out to us. info@americanconfidence.com. But today, right now, Susan, I feel like I've met a wonderful new friend.
Me too.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And by all means, keep doing the beautiful work and helping women and men find their authentic voice.
And anytime you want me back, I'm here.
Thanks.
This podcast was sponsored by the American Confidence Institute. ACI trains smart, hardworking people how to use basic brain science to more effectively coach themselves and others. ACI is endorsed by top universities, the Strategic HR Management Association, and International Coaching Federation. Learn more about ACI's uniquely empowering keynotes, workshops, e-classes, and coaching certification at www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com.
So before we completely wrap up, I want to let you know that full transcripts and show notes for this and other episodes can be found on the website www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com/podcast. I also want to remind you once again that the best way to get confidence for yourself is to give it to others. And you can do it so easily just by liking and sharing this episode on your favorite social media channels. You can even give me some confidence fuel by sending in any comments about the topics I've covered or ones you'd like me to consider for the future. So for now, this is Alyssa DeVere. Thank you for helping to bring more confidence to the world.
This podcast was produced by Mindful Media. All rights reserved by Alyssa DeVere and the American Confidence Institute. Music written and performed by Jeff Weinstein.